All right, it is 4 p.m. on January 6, 2026. I'm going to call the City of Iowa City Work Session to order. Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome back to City Hall. First item on the agenda is University of Iowa Student Government updates. I don't see them here at this moment, but should they come in later, we will come back to that item. We're going to go ahead with item number two, clarification of agenda items.
Going in order of the packets, or
just the formal agenda tonight. Anyone has any thoughts, comments that need to be made aware of? Hearing none, we'll move on to the item number three, information packet discussions, December 11th. December 18th.
I did have a question actually about IP 3 in the financial report. Just a high level question that had to do with the slides or the pages that talked about investments by institution. And I just noticed that there was a significant uptick in investment with Bankers Trust, and I just wondered if someone could talk about that a little bit. And what does the city look for? Is it a matter of that, you know, better rates from certain banks, or it just seemed like it was a fairly significant uptick.
What our staff would do is do really a request for proposals or request for current rates, and then we base the investment decisions on those rates. Obviously, we want to stay diversified with different institutions, but you can see fluctuation based on the rates offered at the time we're making those inquiries.
And then I also wondered, this might be a little bit outside of scope, but are there any things that staff is keeping an eye on with Midwest One having been bought?
We've been in conversation with them. They were good at reaching out on the day of the announcement, and have tried to forecast how that transition will go, but that's going to be a longer process here. In addition, Chris O'Brien, Deputy City Manager, and I did meet with the president of Nicolet Bank, who is acquiring Midwest One, and had a great meeting with him. That was probably 2 months ago or so, shortly after the merger was announced. So right now it's kind of business as usual, but they've been good at communicating with us.
Thank you.
All right. December 26th. And December 31st. So we do have our IP number 6, the joint entities meeting, which is going to be January 12th, and just wanted to see if there are any items of interest. There's one agenda item so far, which is CORE doing an update from the Johnson County Nonprofit Collective, and it'll be an overview on opportunities for fostering systems of cooperation.
I thought that I had read in the paper that there was going to be an update on Trip Connect, because I know that at least the county staff right now is recommending it not be in the budget, that it may not continue. And I thought that I had read in the paper that there was going to be an update. Does anyone know whether that's on the agenda or has been talked about?
I just contacted North Liberty just to see if she'd had any items, and that was the only one that she gave me was from Coralville.
Okay.
I mean, it would be worth asking in some venue. I don't know if we want to,
right,
like for Johnson County, say, can you update us? I did have a different item, though.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So I received a phone call yesterday from Mandy Remington about the field mediation technical assistance grant that the city and the county were awarded. So she's going to provide just a very brief update on that. I do believe there's a public event coming up yet this month relating to that. So there'll be information.
Yeah, that's going to be January 27th, I believe, 6 o'clock at the library, and I'll provide that information to you later this week so that you have all that. I don't think it's been published yet by the communications teams at the city and county are going to publicize that. But just to kick off to that program, again, January 27th, I believe, is that date.
I think I would like to put it, it might be too tight of a window, but before break, we had, it was the Emergency Response Coalition, Nikki Reed and Emily Meister with United Way, talking about the SNAP crisis that we had undergone. And I think a number of us have had perhaps individual conversations with Tom Martinez, who serves on the board of the Coralville Food Pantry and also works kind of at a think tank on food security within Iowa. I would be interested in having them come speak to joint entities about sort of a kind of a debrief. How did it go? But then looking forward, because I understand there's some real instability potentially within the state about what SNAP will look like. Like I say, this, I'm putting this maybe more like as a side note for the next joint entities, because I'm not sure that they were very willing to speak to it, but I think so much time has gone by that they haven't really been able probably to prepare. And so it would be useful to just keep that, and I'll just surface it again when we're coming up on another one, if that sounds agreeable.
It does. I don't know who. I know an emerging collaborative of a couple food banks working together also.
Yes.
And yeah. I know United Way has been engaged, too, with facilitating a lot of that. I don't know the right person to sort of deliver that, but I like the idea.
And it might be that it pull those folks in as well.
Yeah, so. But it's clearly a regional effort.
So it sounded like not for this meeting is the suggestion, but just something to keep in mind.
Yes.
And then the field mediation grant. I just wanted to make sure. Remington, she's
going to... Yeah, the county will put it on the
agenda. They'll put it on the
agenda. Yeah, I just want to let you all know. Yeah.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it. So Trip Connect, I mean, it sounds like they may need to have some conversations amongst themselves, but certainly, you know, if someone want to reach out to the county to see if they're ready to present, you know, on Trip Connect, they can certainly put it on there. So far, there's no Iowa City item that I've heard that we will add to the agenda. Is there anything that anyone want to propose at this time, or shall we just move on to the next agenda item?
Move on.
We can move on.
Hearing nothing, we'll move on. Anything else from December 31st information packet?
Thanks to staff for putting together the strategic plan, sort of looking backwards what we've achieved. That's really helpful. I know setting goals is really important, but then following up is also critical. So thanks for doing that. And I'll happily share that out with people who ask, what are you doing?
And that is our next agenda item, number four. So strategic plan status report. So I will turn it over to Kirk to lead us in this discussion. Welcome.
Thanks, Mayor. Kirk Lehman, Assistant City Manager. What a topical transition.
You're welcome.
Appropriate. Yeah, so this is really an opportunity just to discuss, you know, what's been happening over the past year, past fiscal year, and then also look forward to the future a little bit. For those who are interested, the strategic plan for 2025 is now available on our website. I'll have the link at the end, but it's icgov.org/strategic plan. So if there are those in the public who are interested in looking it up as we're talking about it, I'd encourage you to check that out. It's also in the agenda packet. So I wanted to start tonight by just talking a little bit about the importance of the strategic plan, how it's structured, how we use it, and why it's such a critical document for decision-making within the city. In terms of when it was adopted initially in 2022, December of 2022. And since that time, it has been updated in 2024, and it is a living document. So it's a document that as counselors see things that change over time, we encourage you to revisit it as needed. But it really summarizes the vision, strategies, and key action steps for the city to undertake from fiscal year 2023 when it was adopted all the way through fiscal year 2028, which ends June 30th of 2028. So right now, this report marks somewhat the halfway point of the strategic plan, but as it comes to your budgeting process, you're already going to be looking out at FY27. So it's a document that really does feed into everything that the city makes as it relates to policy, as it relates to operational decisions, and budgets, very importantly. So the way that it's structured is it lays out a vision, which is essentially the desired future state for Iowa City. And then it lays out key strategies to help get to that state and then action steps that can help implement that. The reason it's so important is because it provides that strategic focus as we're looking at all these elements within the city. And so it's a document that really does get referred to by city management on, if not a daily basis, probably a weekly basis, but a very regular basis where we're always looking at this, especially as we're coming up with some of those longer term documents that guide what we do. In terms of its structure, it's structured with three areas. It's got values, which is how the city does what it does. It's really integrated throughout all elements of the plan. Then there are impact areas that are the strategic areas of focus. That's where you find most of the action items within the document. And then there are also the resources that are needed to implement the plan. So that includes the facilities, technology, and equipment to do it, the people that actually carry out the activities, and then the finances that are required to implement it. So I will touch on each of these elements. I'll spend most of this presentation talking about those impact areas because that's where a lot of the rubber meets the road. But first I wanted to delve into those value vision statements because they are so important to what we do at the city. So there are three values that are embedded throughout the plan: climate action, racial justice, social equity, and human rights, and partnership and engagement. As you look at the strategic plan, within each action item, it references which ones might be relevant. In many cases, all of them are relevant, but this is really the way that we approach our work. It is. Includes the desired and included within the desired end states in every impact area, and is a critical piece of the way that we look at what we do at the city on a day-to-day basis, as well as with that strategic long-term focus. So you'll see it throughout. I won't touch on them individually, but you'll notice as I get into some of these impact areas how it feeds into it directly. So most of this, like I said, I want to talk about it by impact area because that's where the rubber meets the road. What I do want to say is I could talk about the city for hours and hours and hours. What I want to do today is highlight some of those really key things that we accomplished over the past year and especially celebrate those victories that we have had because we've made such good progress on many of the action steps included within the plan. So obviously there's great work being done every day by the employees of Iowa City, and we really want to take an opportunity to celebrate that with a focus on some of those strategic actions that council has identified. Another thing I want to say before I delve into it is that core services remain one of those primary things that we as the city do. We're providing services day in and day out, and while we don't highlight those all the time, they are a critical piece of what the city does, and the strategic plan really does reinforce the fact that we want to maintain those core services even as we do implement some of these strategic initiatives at the same time. So the first impact area then is housing and neighborhoods. First and foremost, I wanted to highlight just some of the innovative housing projects and the ways that we are trying to bolster our publicly owned housing stock. It is something that is ongoing. So even within this action plan, you'll notice things that have changed since it's been published. So Some examples of recent ways that we've been trying to bolster our public housing stock are acquisitions of townhomes in eastern Iowa City, acquisitions of townhomes in North Liberty. In eastern Iowa City, we've added another townhome since we put this together. But we're also looking at, you know, beyond acquiring existing properties, looking at developing our own properties. So the city is currently in the process of trying to figure out the best way that we can approach the development of publicly owned housing. We're looking at how do we restructure our divisions, how do we bolster our support from our consultants, and we're actively working towards the development on North Summit Street for up to 36 city-owned affordable units that's currently underway. So we're fortunate in that is supported by our $3.75 million pro-housing grant that we were awarded, but that's going to be a continued effort that you'll see over the next couple years. We are also always exploring new partnerships in ways that we can approach housing. One example that I'll give is our partnership with Johnson County, where we are working with them to provide 15 units of housing for veterans. That would include supportive services. It would be provided by the VA. It would be supported by HUD veterans vouchers. And it really would be a first of its kind project in the state. So we see examples like this as innovative ways that we're trying to do it. In this case, it will be publicly owned as well. So a lot of the time, those things aren't mutually exclusive. But we're generally excited about all the work that's being done, and we look forward to continue providing those opportunities. Also wanted to touch, as it relates to housing and neighborhood, on some of the works being done by our Parks Department. Obviously, it's a major component of the services that we provide, both in terms of open space that we provide, but also in terms of recreational services. So one of our goals is really to provide those sorts of services near where people live within a walkable and bikeable distance. And we do that in two ways. One, we're constantly investing in our parks. So you'll see every year a few park projects that are being done. Example shown on the slide is College Green Park, where we replace the playground as they become out of date, or as we're trying to improve accessibility. Both those things are always on our mind. And we're also always looking at expanding where parks are provided based on where the city continues to grow. So we recently expanded Hickory Hill Park. We added a park on the west side, Adelaide Joy Rogers Park on Shannon Drive. And we're looking at the future locations where we believe development is imminent, such as Palisades Park, which we're planning or looking at 2027 for that being done, and then also on the far west side and the far east side, and we're always keeping our eyes open for opportunities there as well. So trying to provide those opportunities is another thing that is always a focus of city staff, and I think we've made a lot of progress towards that in 2025. Moving on to mobility, which is the second impact area, one of the key things that have been occurring over the past years is obviously our Fare Free Transit program that we developed. It was set to expire in 2025, but because of the great success that we've seen with increases in ridership, offsets for carbon emissions, and reduced fares paid, especially from residents that are reliant on that as an affordable method of transportation. All of those things really led us to support the continuation of that service. So thanks to new parking rate fee increases, electric and gas franchise fees established in FY25 and FY26, we are excited to continue pursuing this project and seeing how growth continues in the future so that we can continue to meet our climate action and equity goals. That being said, it will be a project that requires continual annual review, as we do see operational expenses often increasing more than some of the support that we have. And things such as federal transit or federal funding volatility is always something that may impact it as well. So it's something that will require continued work, but we believe that it has been a great success, and we look forward to seeing that continue past this last year. And then also looking more broadly at a transportation network, this action item focuses specifically on kind of those active transportation modes. One of the things that's positive about the way that we approach our work at Iowa City is that we really try to take a comprehensive approach as we're making as we're approaching our transportation network at the city. So every time that there's a water main project, every time that there's a road project, we're always looking at, are there accessibility improvements that we can make? Are there sidewalk infill projects that need to be done? And we've had some great successes, projects that have been completed over the past year. I'd like to highlight the pictures up there are North Dubuque Street and North Gilbert Street. In the case of North Dubuque Street, we added lots of pedestrian accommodations. We've made lots of uses for that. It's a very active streetscape in our downtown. And in terms of North Gilbert Street, that's been a gap in our sidewalk network, and so we're excited about being able to add sidewalks and really build out the network that we provide throughout the city. But beyond that, we're also always looking for bike projects, implementing our bike master plan. And then we also have major projects that don't make this slide, but that still provide those pedestrian accommodations, things like our Court Street project that's being done, or Rochester Avenue that was completed last year. All of those include pedestrian elements. And then also looking in the future, obviously we have our Burlington Street Bridge project coming up in 2029, and that's going to be a substantial investment and a substantial improvement for all users of that roadway. Moving on to the economy impact area, one of the things that I really wanted to highlight is just the continued implementation of our inclusive economic development plan, especially as it's related to investments that we've been able to make with our ARPA program funds. One of the big ones is the renovations at Dream City have been complete. So they've been working on creating an entrepreneurial hub at their property on Southgate Avenue in the South District. It's really been a fantastic success. Since completing the renovation, they've hosted dozens of workshops, helped more than 100 entrepreneurs, and they also provide micro retail space that's desperately needed throughout the city, and that is affordable, and they're looking to expand that because it's been such a success. They also continue to build partnerships throughout the area. I know that they're hosting Kirkwood classes. They've hosted us as city staff at that space, and it's just really been a great asset for the South District and for Iowa City as a whole. And beyond that, we have provided significant funding to provide technical assistance, grants, and other assistance to small business owners and entrepreneurs, especially those that might not have had access to those resources in the past. It's really made a tremendous impact throughout the community, and we're excited to continue that work in the future. And I would also be remiss when talking about the economy if I did not mention the substantial investment that we've made in 21 South Lynn Street. So this is a project that began in 2023 with the acquisition of that vacant lot. And over the past 2024 to 2025, we've gone through a public input phase, issued RFP to redevelop the site so that we can get a public-private partnership that can redevelop that property for really substantial public benefit, and have selected a proposed project for that. So as you all know, you selected the Grand Rail proposal in 2025, which is a 6-to-8-story commercial and a residential mixed-use building. What's notable about it is that it doesn't include a request for TIF funding. So that does mean that the taxes that it generates will go more towards those public services throughout the community. So that was a unique aspect of that proposal. And we're currently in the process of working through that development agreement and expect continued progress on that over the next year. Moving on to the safety and well-being impact area. One thing that we really wanted to highlight is the mental health liaison program that was developed in partnership with Community Crisis Services. Our goal established in the plan is to have 24-hour coverage by the end of FY28, and we have made continued progress towards that. After launching it in 2021, we added that second liaison in 2024. The notable change in 2025 is that we launched it as a co-responder model. So with that model, we have one mental health liaison who is based at the police station, and then one who is actively responding to calls with a sworn police officer co-responder. And that's really allowed us to expand the number of calls that we can operate on while still providing adequate capacity to follow up on those calls and make sure that people are connected to the services that they need to be connected to. So we just got our total calls for 2025, and they responded to just over 1,200 calls. So that's over 12 months. And compare that to about 650 calls in 2024. And while that was a partial year of having two mental health liaisons, it still shows substantial progress. And what we've seen is that generally having that that mental health liaison in the field, we've been able to triple the number of calls that, that folks can get on. So it's been a really positive expansion. And then also looking at public facilities throughout our city, including things like our senior center, which is which has been critically in need of investment. We've recently completed phase one in 2024. Phase two should be completed in 2026. That included things like roofing, the exterior envelope. It included windows, doors, painting, all those things that really make that building pop from the outside. And I'm sure that you've walked by it recently, but it looks fantastic. And really, our next focus is to shift to the inside. There's elements of that building that haven't been touched in many years, and we're excited to be able to continue implementing that Senior Center Master Plan. And then I did want to touch on some of the resources, which isn't an impact area, but they are things that are in this necessary to be able to make sure that we continue to make progress on our plan. One is prioritizing data-informed decision-making. So as you all know, we got our responses in FY25 with our community survey. We're really excited about those responses. They've been able to, they have allowed us to benchmark against similar communities. We'll continue to use that to be able to track progress over time as we continue to make improvements. And then it also does provide feedback that we can use to help inform our priorities and services. We've been trying to incorporate those metrics into council documents, and we've also been exploring our other metrics that we provide you in documents such as our budget, where we provide metrics every year that can help us make decisions and help make sure that you understand what's happening at the city and how things are moving forward. And then also alternative revenue sources. Of course, I have to mention the recent approval by our voters of the local option sales tax, the 1% local option sales tax, which is estimated to provide approximately $14 million in annual revenue for Iowa City next year. However, that does go into effect in July, so that's fiscal year to fiscal year. It's not year to year. We will have to wait as those dollars come in. It's not something that gets fronted to us, but it does provide lots of opportunities for continuing to accelerate our investments in strategic priorities, as well as facilitating some relief to our general fund, which provides those core services. So making sure that we're continuing to provide the high-quality services that our residents expect and deserve, but also continuing to advance these priorities in your strategic plan. So that's my springboard into looking towards the future. Lost obviously facilitates a lot of things. That being said, it's not going to be a silver bullet. We are still dealing with several headwinds that will affect us. So we've continued to see a lot of our operational costs exceeding faster than our taxable valuation growth, specifically since the pandemic. There's also always volatility as it relates to federal funding, as it relates to tariffs, and property tax reform at the State House could substantially impact what we are able to do and what would be responsible to do. But that being said, we're in a pretty good position to continue working towards many of these goals. Like I said, a lot of that's facilitated by Lost, but we've also been really careful in the way that we've budgeted. We've been able to maintain our AAA bond rating, and all those things help keep us in a great position to be able to make progress towards our goals. And of course, the countless hours that staff puts in towards doing the work day to day. So when we're looking towards the future, there's a couple ways that we're looking at it. One is an expansion of existing efforts. So I'm just highlighting a couple efforts that we want to continue expanding at the city. We're always looking at boosting our partnerships with service providers to help address the growing challenges as they relate to homelessness in our community. It's something that we've been working with them over time on. It's a continued challenge, and we are looking forward to continuing projects like working with Shelter House on their functional a zero homelessness study, things like that, that might be really positive ways to continue meeting the needs of our community. Also, always looking at other partnerships with our nonprofit partners, whether that be social service providers, or whether that be our arts and culture nonprofits, all of them provide really critical services to our residents, and we want to continue to see those thrive and succeed. And then also looking at the continued success with our mental health liaison partnership with community, we do continue to have that goal of full coverage by FY28, and we'll continue to make progress towards that. Now, beyond that, we have several partnerships that were established as pilot programs, primarily due to ARPA funds that have come by, but we also have some other one-source or one-time funds that we've been able to use to test things out and try to see what works and what doesn't. And that gives us a unique opportunity to say, yep, we've had several partnerships that have worked great, and we'd love to see these things continued. So looking at how we avoid that ARPA cliff for some of these really essential programs that have a proven track record, and making sure that they continue to succeed. So we have lots of examples, things like investment in childcare that we've done. We have several workforce development efforts that have really kicked off, and also always looking at our climate action related initiatives and making sure that those continue to chip away at our climate action goals. Again, LOSS provides great opportunities towards this end, and we think that there's going to be some exciting discussions coming up in our next fiscal year budget. And then also renewed efforts. So some of these are things that we've started, but that will really kick off over the next couple years. But they're things that I really wanted to highlight. So one example I'll give is our comprehensive plan, which is currently underway. We do expect to adopt that in 2026. But beyond that, we are looking at that zoning code update that's really going to implement those land use changes that might be incorporated in a comprehensive plan. We also need to think increasingly about resilience, climate resiliency, given some of the climate impacts that we've been seeing in our community, increasing drought, increasing other climate impacts, flooding, et cetera, that we need to consider. So looking at how does our climate action plan reflect that? And beyond that, we need to look cohesively at our riverfront. So not just within our jurisdiction, but also looking collaboratively with the other jurisdictions along the Iowa River. Obviously, when it comes to watersheds, that's not something that one jurisdiction can solve or even approach on its own. And then finally, continuing those investments in our facilities that really are critical to the provision of services within Iowa City. So one element of that is implementing our City Hall needs study, which includes things like solutions for our Fire Station 1 and Police Station, which really need to be moved off-site to continue making that progress. But then also looking at other investments throughout our city. Obviously, we're making substantial investments in our transit and equipment facilities, in our senior center, in our rec centers. All those things are things that are going to need to continue over the next several years. So while our strategic plan has always been an ambitious document, I will say that I think that we've made really substantial progress. I think we're pleased with our progress over this past year. We believe that we're going to be able to continue to make progress towards implementation. And I don't really have a conclusion slide, but I'm happy to answer any questions you have, or if you have any thoughts that you wanted to share. I think that this is a great opportunity to do so. But pleased with progress, and we hope you are too.
Please go right ahead. Yeah.
No, I just have sort of a discussion question for council. So,
I did have one question actually, and I had noticed it in the report, and you had highlighted it as well about the pilot that is working with NCJC and then the bike library about resilience hubs. And I know that's a pilot, and that I saw also there's plan, the current action plan is being revamped for 2027. Is that correct? I mean, maybe that's under the climate action piece of it.
Oh, the climate action plan, the Climate Action Commission is looking at prioritizing.
Okay.
What are the actions that they think is going to be most effective towards implementing the climate action goals of Iowa City? The resilience hub aspect of it is something where they've gone through their planning process, they've started making investments towards implementation of their own plans, and I believe that they continue to make steps towards that, and we will continue to support the efforts as they continue down that path.
And on balance, are the two locations for the pilot finding success? Are they feeling good about what the pilot has been sort of manifesting for them and the progress that the hubs themselves have been making so that it looks like it can build upon itself?
So my understanding is that they'll be able to continue building upon their success. I know that they've hosted numerous workshops. They've definitely made improvements that will help in times of need that can help make them a critical community resource when there are disasters, for mm-hmm. example. And they have been involved in our climate action planning. And I think that I don't see that going away is what I would say.
Thank you.
Yeah, just to add real quick to that, I think both locations have been a big success, and we're still working with the bike library and neighborhood centers, but they've both been able to leverage the dollars that we've been that we've provided to do even more. And you look at what the bike library's done with their capital campaign, and our money kind of dovetailed into that, and I think brought a lot of credibility and excitement to that project. So they're doing amazing things. And of course, seeing neighborhood centers expand to a third neighborhood is really, really positive. So that resilience hub model really is something that we want to replicate. And I think there's some interest in the community from nonprofits to join and see how they can not only become a resilience hub, but maybe incentivize some of that work as well. And then regarding the question on the climate plan, Kirk's correct. Right now, the commission is focused on prioritizing those remaining objectives in the plan. But your strategic plan does call for a reimagining of that climate action plan, and that'll be part of the budget proposal that you're reviewing in the next couple of months. We're going to propose some resources, financial resources, to send us on that journey, and we'll probably need a little bit of discussion with you to really frame up exactly what you want to see in that plan. So think of that climate plan redo as something that those discussions start in 2026, and maybe we get kicked off in 2027 once we have that firm direction.
That's a good segue to the question that I had for council. So with the climate action plan, the commission is prioritizing the remaining action items. I was going to ask the council, if are we interested in doing an exercise like that? If we're not going to do the full kind of strategic plan review, I just would ask us to consider taking the items that remain in the plan that aren't done yet and maybe just prioritizing them as a group.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. It won't take a day.
Well, so I do remember when we were working with ECOG in the initial plan development, which I think that process didn't have everyone because that was earlier than the
22.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So one of the things that we did was with the initial ideas that the council generated were plotted on impact and effort on quadrants. I found that really, really helpful when we were able to then map that and say, and I think staff took those sort of the priorities, but I don't think it's reflected in the plan necessarily. And we haven't revisited that exercise of the prioritization or even the idea of getting us thinking about of those things that are left, what, you know, how would we address sort of the impact versus effort analysis.
I remember that was the other piece that was really helpful, was sort of okay, well, this is a big lift for staff, or mm-hmm. this is actually something that is on you all as council with political mm-hmm. capital. And yeah, so I agree that was really useful, and especially since we're at a halfway point, I mean, that can only be helpful, I would think, to staff to sort of say, at one point without this, but you can drop that one down or what have you. So I think it's a great idea.
So are you thinking this? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Mayor.
I wanted to say I hope we can take a step back and actually see some of the work that's been done. you know, because of the strategic plan and the direction that we've given staff and the actions that we've taken, we've taken steps as a council. This is a beautiful document to not pat ourselves on the back, but to actually take a moment and say, hey, yeah, we are, you know, sticking to the strategic plan, even though sometimes we get sidetracked in conversations. But when you look at what is before us right now, I'm very impressed, and I want to say thanks to our staff for, you know, listening to the council and really presenting us with opportunities that really does, you know, fit with our strategic plan. What you're asking, I think, is totally fine. The one thing that comes to mind is, are we just going to focus in and not be expanding? And I'm sure that'll come up. And would it be more of a report that we can look at first from that exercise, and then we determine where we want to go from there? Because oftentimes we can, you know, keep circling. Mm-hmm. If we've already done the exercise, let's hear back. Let's have a discussion at the work session, and then from there we can determine what our next steps are. I think we all know that our staff, they are listening to us. They're when they do presentations before us, they're bringing in the strategic plan. Our commissioners and our boards, they're also, mm-hmm, you know, front of mind thinking about, you know, the strategic plan. And so that's what I would suggest that we do first, is to get that report back, and then we can have a discussion and determine where we go from there. Mm-hmm.
I think that when was the last, I'm not entirely sure what it's called, the last edit to the strategic plan?
Shortly after I started on council, so that would have been the winter of 2024.
Okay. I would enjoy being at one of those meetings. And I think that just to give some ideas here, I want to echo what Mayor Teague said. This is a beautiful document, and not only in terms of, like, you look at most municipalities and they don't have, I think most, the vast majority don't have this ambitious or cool of goals as we do. So thanks everybody for putting us down that path before I was elected. And also, just how beautiful it looks and how I think comprehensive it is. And the average person who is not involved in municipal work or council work all the time, they can read this and be extremely well informed. Mm-hmm. I've actually done some field testing in that department where I just made a random friend read this, and I was just like, and they were just like, I had no idea a lot of this stuff was happening, and this is really cool, and I understand it a lot. That's just one anecdote. But some ideas that I've had, in terms of direction, I love seeing in the housing and neighborhoods, like clearly staff has been listening to us when one of the 1.7 is explore innovative housing projects and bolster publicly owned housing, and also respond to the growing homelessness challenge in collaboration with nonprofit partners through enhanced street outreach partnerships, data-informed strategies. And it says further down in there, talking about reaching functional zero. And I think since our joint meeting with not only the county, but then our joint entities meeting with people from all over Johnson County, it doesn't have to necessarily be an action item in and of itself, but something that is as comprehensive as an entire action item or impact area to be that comprehensive, to where it has difference, because this is a huge project that I know is technically germane when it comes to being under housing and neighborhoods, when it comes to being under safety and well-being, but reaching net zero homelessness, I think, is something that is kind of like, from what I've heard of council, it seems kind of like unanimously we want to go down that path. And I know that we are waiting for a study to come out which is a huge part of this. We're waiting to understand what the funding impact is going to be from the federal level. We're still waiting to hear that. It could be any day now. Regardless of what that is, the same goal remains, but the timeline might change, the strategy might change. So I think we will have to wait for a lot of that stuff to come out. But I would love to see when we have all the information, when we have the study, when we've done the research, having something in the strategic plan further reflecting that and gives it kind of the specificity and in-depth look as an impact area, as opposed to just kind of like a footnote in it.
I'll tell you that I am, you know, waiting for that report. Right?
Yeah, me too.
And, that's something that definitely Maz and I have strongly, you know, been advocating for is, you know, the homelessness. And we're waiting somewhat patiently and somewhat urging, you know. And I think the conversation when that happens will probably come with some great desire to act from this council and to and partnerships with other municipalities throughout Johnson County. But yeah, waiting by, you know, sitting along, you know, the sidelines waiting. It is hard to do. I'll be the first to tell you.
Yeah.
But I do believe that when we do get that and have that continued conversation, that I anticipate that there is going to be a lot of desire to see some actionable things in short time frames.
Absolutely. And I'm just flagging it for now. I'm not saying we make any decisions or edit it right now. I guess I just wanted to explain my desire to maybe have one of those meetings or sessions and also just kind of give one of the main things that I was thinking about just to so everybody's aware and the public is aware that that's my intention.
Yeah.
I think this is actually, it's interesting because it was something that I actually was thinking about coming into this meeting because I've been a huge proponent when we did the last, you know, the last meeting we did with the update of having, you know, counselor buy-in and participation in this process, balancing that against the, you know, one of the advantages we're seeing with this is the fact that we've had a, you know, more or less stable strategic plan since 2022. And since these things are multi-year efforts, because we have to do things like wait on reports in order to, so we're not, you know, chasing our own tails or just running off, you know, like the cat chasing the laser pointer. You know, and making sure we're keeping our efforts focused and well used. But I'm wondering, as I was thinking about this, again, before this meeting, if there's maybe not, in order to see exactly how much of a revisit we might need, maybe it's a, let me just, I would like to continue thinking about this, but let me toss out this idea of some homework for us. So as I was reading through this report and then the report that the really nice report you've given us tonight, you know, I'm going through there and I'm still, you know, really satisfied with what's there. Like nothing jumped out at me like, oh, we're missing something in a strategic level. The tactical level, things like that, that come and go as we get new opportunities that, you know, I've seen the council and the city staff been pretty adept at like saying, okay, well, this circumstance has changed. Let's go after this, or this opportunity has come up, or this opportunity has gone away, or we have to replace ARPA funds, whatever, as those things change on the ground. But I would hate to do is, even if it's well-intentioned, is to yank the rug out from underneath some of these ongoing efforts. And I don't think that's anybody's intention, but I think that could be an accidental result. So something to think about, and I'd be okay with us pondering this and maybe circling back to it, is do we want to, as council members, sort of say, okay, well, here's a couple things I think we actually would like to work on. And then, you know, that might just give us two or three small areas we might not need a full meeting for, or it might give us a very focused meeting if we wanted to do that. And then we could get into things like, okay, so if we had a couple of ideas, hey, how feasible would this be? And then we could get into that resource allocation thing. Like, okay, well, this would be another really good idea. But if we did this, we'd have to quit doing something else. You know, and so that's, I reminded, like, when the, we were talking about power lines and power distribution here about 3-4 years ago, and we had our climate action people look at that, and one of the, you know, Sarah Gardner and others were really good about saying, explaining, okay, so we could do this, but we'd have to, we don't know if it's going to work, and if we were to do this thing and duplicate the efforts that other cities like Des Moines were doing, we'd have to quit doing, like, our climate fest, because we'd be taking resources away, and so then, you know, but that was a good way to, like, okay, so maybe we need to, so we get to that level of evaluation, but maybe even before we get to that, it's like, is there really anything here that we really feel needs addressing before we, like, you know, I guess in tail dog, which is wagging whom, and I think all of it is in good, you know, we all want to see the good things happen, so just a thought. This mm-hmm. was what I was thinking about before this meeting and before Councillor Burgess kind of brought this up, so. Mm-hmm. And apologies if it's not fully formed, because I just...
No, I understand what you're saying. I think the intention is to have something a little bit more... And I feel like this is what the meeting would be about, to discuss these exact things about, you know, what allocated time, effort we want from staff to go towards certain things. For me, it would just kind of be an expansion of the transparency for what we are already doing, and also once we get the report and get more information and know what the funding is going to be like, then we can actually make those plans in an educated manner and set those goals in an educated manner. So I think that the resource allocation conversation would come at a different point. This would just be something that would make it as transparent as possible and put it forward as, make it public, because we know this is a priority. We've talked about it. We've had these joint entities meetings. So this is just about putting that onto paper and having the updates mm-hmm. reflect mm-hmm. that.
I'm trying to remember now. Do we have, so when we did this before, when we had those documents, I think they might, like in terms of the allocation of resources and the balance of effort and stuff like that, I think those are still part of the original public documents, but that might be back in December of 2022, or some of the work product leading up to that. I mean, nobody remembers off the top of their head.
I don't believe it's in the strategic plan document itself.
It might not be in the document itself.
I think it was probably in the materials as it was being developed that were publicly available. I'm not sure if, I mean, we can find them, but I'm not sure that
if
they're
that
publicly available now.
So instead of reinventing the wheel, Councillor Weiland, if that would be helpful to like, to that, somebody locate those things and share those with you and kind of review what's there already, and then mm-hmm. we can maybe go from there.
I do know Sala wanted to jump in.
Sorry.
And then.
No, I'm going to change the conversation if you want to.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, I very much like the idea of homework in advance, so we have something, you know, to really talk about and maybe take less time as a full group. But I just really appreciated that particular exercise. It doesn't need to be that, but I think, like, you know, if there's something that can sort of like pull us back to the, yes, we have all these things that are either in progress or not yet done. And, you know, and I appreciate also like the long-term part that you brought up, Sean, like obviously the budget is almost ready to be published, and this wouldn't be like changing, you know, major timing of things. But I do think just in that idea of where we are in the, you know, 2021 to 2028, if we're not going to do a concerted, like, do we want to sit down and add more things? Maybe we can just get on the same page of some prioritization.
Mm-hmm. And just as one last comment, and I know you have been so patient on this topic, is that I seem to recall, I mean, you know, we got regular updates on ARPA spend, right? And we had an opportunity to look and say, do we still feel that this, right? So mm-hmm. I'm seeing this exercise, the sort of the amalgamation of suggestions, to be similar in that we look at what we have. We have kind of a large scale or a revisiting of our priorities. Are they still there? And then we can be able to provide outward facing about, like, these are our priorities, these, you know, so that the public can know better. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me, in some ways, I've been listening, and I think we're all circling around the same topic, and just there's different ways to go about it. But I think ultimately we're talking about, what do we have? Are there gaps? But more to the point, what are the priorities now that we're 2 years in? Mm-hmm. And we have a slightly different council. We've had extenuating circumstances or changes in circumstance. So anyway, I agree that this is a good exercise, mm-hmm. and it'll allow us to kind of get back on the same page or to write the page, right?
Yeah.
And to help for the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
and,
all I wanted to say.
Yeah, and to whatever mechanism it may take, the goal being it is a priority for council, it is a priority in our community, and I just originally liked how it was communicated, how it was very clear, how it was structured in the impact areas in the strategic plan. I talked with some staff about it. There was, ideas were had. What it kind of came around to was if it's a priority, it should go, it should be clearly stated in the document of documents, you know, which is the strategic plan. So I guess that's where I'm coming from with it. But whatever mechanism it may take, priority accountability to us is met, whatever it may be, you know.
I wanted to talk, but you're next.
Something different.
Different topic. Different
okay,
topic.
Different yeah. topic.
Thank yeah. you.
All right. Thank you. I want to talk about Big Six on the racial equity, social justice, and human rights. I recommend adding one clarifying sentence to the committed to equal protection. Section 2 explicitly stated that this protection applies to all Iowa City residents, including immigrants and non-immigrant residents. This sentence should be just brief and be less near to the end, maybe, like in the governor, so that it reinforces inclusivity without shifting the focus away from LGBTQ plus protection. I guess thinking about adding, for example, single sentence clarifying that the Iowa City human rights protection apply to all residents. I don't know what it is, but something like that. And I think this clarification help ensure immigrant and non-immigrant residents understand that local civil rights protection apply to them and align with Iowa City's longstanding commitment to equal protection under the law.
Just so I'm on the same, is this what's labeled as page 7 of the progress report?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, I see.
And just for clarification, will you maybe state the changes that you're suggesting once again?
Thinking just a single sentence applying to, say that Iowa City human rights protection apply to all residents, including immigrants and non-immigrants residents, regardless of status. No other change needed. That's only that.
And I want to make sure that I'm looking at, is it right after, is it associated with this sentence?
Yeah, toward the end of the sentence, yeah.
Toward the end of the sentence.
Oh, you're talking...
The end of the paragraph, not the sentence, sorry.
Oh, where it wouldn't change anything up
no,
here.
No. It's not.
It would just be adding.
Yeah, just say like something on the end of the paragraph saying that, Iowa City's human rights protection apply to all residents, including immigrants and non-immigrants residents, regardless of status. I think the human rights apply to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And sentence like this without shifting anything on the top, just at the end.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I personally don't see any concern. Certainly we can see what folks are thinking. I'm seeing some nodding of heads. Yep. So, yeah, I will want that change to be added.
So if council is agreeable, since you don't formally adopt this update document, I think we'd like to work with Mayor Councillor Soleil and just edit this ourselves, and then we'll check it with you to make sure it's meeting your intent, and then it'll be updated on the website going forward. But again, you don't formally adopt these update documents. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing it up.
I wanted to transition to, if I understood the Climate Act, the initial comment about climate action was we should take a second on that item to look at our climate action plan, sort of review what we've achieved, what's left, and find that intersection. Is that what we talked about doing for the climate action element?
And you're looking at me?
Yeah.
I think I was trying to use the segue. So Jeff was saying, or Kirk said, that the Climate Action Commission is looking at the existing Accelerated Climate Action Plan, what's left, and going through a prioritization exercise. So I was saying, like, they're doing that with that plan.
Got it.
I would like us to do that with the strategic plan.
Okay, not specifically us engaging in the climate.
No,
okay,
right.
And I was,
no.
That's
sorry.
I wanted to get clarification on
that
one
first.
Thank you for
asking. Yep.
But then also talk about the mobility items specifically. It's top of mind. People want to talk about pedestrian safety and bike safety. It's something I think we're all committed to. And I love the report because it shows all of the really good work that's being done. And I think that there's this plan that's right, and there's the work that's getting done, and then there's sometimes maybe a how does the community get engaged in making the decisions, and how do we get engaged in making the decisions on that? That I don't know. We've tried different things. We had the citizen initiated plans in the past. That's currently being studied. The citizen initiated traffic calming plan, mm-hmm. And I'm curious. In the context of this strategic plan showing all of the work we're doing and us maybe reviewing it, is thinking about mobility and engagement together, if that makes any sense. Because that's with parks, we make huge progress, and we have a parks commission that is responsible for prioritizing where the efforts are aimed in parks. At least they have a say in that. And when it comes to mobility, that's top of mind for me right now is that specific item. Is we're doing all this really good work, and the staff is just moving forward. And where's the middle? Yeah.
Like our formal session today, it was a joke about more commissions, but you're not joking.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting another commission. I'm talking about what do we do when we have the strategic plan that is working, but you want to add on to it and like.
So. Yeah, I do think that this council has kind of somewhat made it, the intention is to work within the existing plan through 2028, and making, because there are huge topics, right? So there aren't a lot of specific, projects identified. Yeah. I'm looking through this and I'm saying, a lot of these things are not, it didn't come from this dais where we said we want this particular item.
Right.
We use big global terminology, and our staff took that information and brought it back to us. We are going to be going through this budget season. We're going to be going through the CIP, and they listen to us when we're in deliberation all year long, and they hear us when someone, an individual counselor, maybe it isn't everyone, but they listen to us and they still bring things back. So while I know our intention is really good to say, hey, we should be great stewards of what we are responsible for, which is this strategic plan. I think Councilor Burgess, saying, let us, have a conversation of some type, a little more at stepping back, looking at this and seeing if there's anything that we want to elevate, because I still believe that that is our job, that is our role. And I heard, from Councilor Hermsen, in kind of his take on this as well, where we can do our homework and then we can bring something back. while I will, I think we can continue this conversation quite a while. What I might suggest is, one, we're going to be going through a budget season. We're going to be hearing a lot of things that are specific things that this, you know, staff will present as related to our strategic plan. And I'm always impressed that they're thinking about things that, you know, really does kind of bring to life our efforts. And yes, there will always be a project or something that we want to expound upon that's going to come up at random times throughout the, you know, throughout our course. And I think we'll still make space for that, provided that someone presented and there's, you know, three or more that want to have those discussions. But I think if we, you know, unless there's more comments about, you know, the document itself, what I would suggest is that we do get that report back from ECOG, and then we do homework along the way. We're going to be doing our homework through the CIP, and honestly, I really believe that it'd be embedded through our budget season, but we can certainly put an item on the work session should that be the desire. It will be an item on the work session because it'll be in the information packet. And someone can bring it up. So if the council agrees, are we comfortable with getting that ECOG report back in an information packet? Or do we want that as an agenda item on the work session? We will have ample opportunity to, especially this season, to, we're probably going to have to be looking at some priorities and making some hard decisions based on the, you know, the presentation that the staff will be presenting to us. But are folks comfortable if we get that report back in an information packet from ECOG and then, you know, bringing up whatever folks want to talk about at that time? We will have a lot of budget discussion this time around.
Sure.
So we'll do that. I will say, if there's anything else about the items that's here, thank you so much, Kirk.
Can I ask a clarificatory question, Mayor? Which report are you talking about from ECOG? Are you talking about the effort?
The housing.
Impact. Yeah,
effort impact report that was produced for the original plan that was adopted in 2022? Or are you talking about updating that to the current action items?
It is just receiving that report, and even if it's been presented already, re-putting it in an information packet.
So the original, gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
And when using that to then say, do we still agree with this? Like, just to make sure, like that's the
It'll be on us to review, and if there's things that stick
changes
out.
Or, mm-hmm.
That's our homework.
Yeah. Okay.
Do our homework.
When was that report done?
They'll find it and they'll bring it to us.
I'm just curious, like how
probably 2021 is probably.
Yeah, because what you're talking about, I don't remember ever seeing.
I don't think it's ever been in like a packet. I think it was part of the council's internal work as we went through the initial strategic planning process.
Like day two, remember we did that first brainstorming, and then they took brilliant sticky notes and then worked through it to say, what's this grid? And that came to us for day two so that then we could work through whether we, you know, we could start playing with it before anything was locked down as far as
before we started.
Do we really think that this is the priority? Is this the thing, right? Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, and I think the document will have a lot of items that aren't in the strategic plan because it was a larger universe. So just to be really clear, Mayor, I was imagining like if we took the existing items and did that same exercise, which we don't have to do all to get together. We could do that as homework. But then to just have that visualization of, like, are we on the same page of what we think is, you know, most impactful. That's the idea.
And if I could piggyback on that, just because for those that weren't, one of the things we did as a part of that process was we were like, okay, here's the 40 things everybody wants to do, rank them 1 to 40, and then they were kind of scored out that mm-hmm. way. But part of our process in doing that was like balancing, like, and they were broken down by category too. But that was a way for us to like, okay, well, you can probably realistically, we can't do all 40 things or whatever the number was. What do we really want to focus, you know, and which things we want to leave on there? And so, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we did a lot of that again, out of session scoring. Mm-hmm. And it actually was, it was surprising how much that actually added clarity.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Clarity. Yeah. There was a lot more alignment, I think, than I had expected. And yeah. that was a really helpful like group mm-hmm. reinforcement.
Yes.
I
mean,
so one clarification, because I think I heard, you know, certainly we started with this big board of all the things, but it, what we're asking for is when it was dwindled down. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't know what work product you're looking for, Mayor. I think the thing in my brain was like being able to do that plotting exercise based on what we have winnowed down, right? Not using that huge universe, but saying like of the actual action items, could we go through that exercise again?
Yeah. Well, and in some ways, I mean,
or,
it's...
Or review, or see it, review it.
We haven't
or...
done it with the current ones. We only ever did it with the bigger universe to yeah. get to the current ones. So again, we don't have to do this. This is just trying to clarify well, what I had in mind.
Without getting in the weeds, and maybe I'm misunderstanding, it's like, you know, we have the green, yellow, red. So we could take at that point the yellow and the red.
Yes.
Of what is existing in this to say, and how do we feel about these things? If it hasn't started yet, we could even be that much more simplistic and say, of the things that haven't started yet or are not in process, how do we feel about them? But it's with this existing document, right? I mean, that way we're working within a universe that we all know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it doesn't, it also doesn't create extra work
for
staff to create something new or go back and say, well, some of these things were actually not even relevant anymore because we're 3 years past.
I'm with you there. I think it would be confusing to step back so far in time.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay.
I mean, it'd be fine to see that as a piece of collateral to understand how you were all thinking 5 years ago. And maybe if there's a way that it was reported out that you want to see it again, then when we do our homework, I can do it in that manner. But I...
Sure. And I think go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think that looking at process work from 5 years ago from a different city council that didn't end up being the strategic plan that they're working off of now doesn't make sense to me.
Let me clarify, too. I think part of my idea with that was I was trying to be helpful to Councillor Wyline, who was talking about some of the things he was talking about were things that jogged memories of mine from our earlier process about public, you know, documents that exist and things like that. So in an effort to just not say that anybody has to look at anything, but just to make everybody aware that wasn't there, that these things existed. And if that would be helpful to request, that they would be there to grab and look at to see some of that, if that work product would be useful for anybody, you know, it's kind of because they do exist. So, you know, and if you weren't part of that process, you would have no way to know that. So. It was more of a, if that feels helpful to somebody, it exists, could be asked for the old work product. For the newer stuff, I like the idea of taking a look at, like, what's there, the yellows and the reds and oranges. I think there's a couple of different things. But, yeah, and starting there and looking at that. Does that help, hopefully, clarify?
You know, now that I am looking at this a little more closer, I do think working off this document, if, you know, mm-hmm. Councilor Burgess,
yeah.
this would be the one we would work off of because of the, and again, we're going to be getting the, you know, the information from staff during this budget season. And if we did our homework and there's something that really speaks to us, I feel like, you know, during budget, anything that is, can be brought up because it's a part of our strategic plan. It's a part of, you know, the hope that we're wanting to change. So, If you know, kind of hearing what the desire is from the majority right now, it is reviewing this document
in a lot more detail,
And just bringing forth some of those if it speaks to you.
So the homework that we would do would be to review and prioritize the things that are yellow, orange, and red, and where that ranks for us. Come to a work session and talk about those things and give that feedback to staff.
I'd even back up one more step and just take a look through there and see if there are things that you feel like need that sort of revisit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not sure that, I mean, and this is just me, one of seven. I'm not sure that I feel like I'm at a place where I would need that, but if others do, but before we even go through the process of having a more formal ranking, it'd be more like just going through and seeing, okay, carefully looking through and say, okay, there's a few things here I need to change, or no, this is fine. And then we're not spinning and, you know, we're not using anybody's resources unwisely.
Yeah. And again, I'm mindful that, you know, August, September is when we, you know, kind of state our priorities for any budgetary season.
And I'm not suggesting we do this right away.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Fair. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fair.
But again, I do think, I love the idea of, you know, because this is our document for us to be great stewards of. And so, maybe, you know, just looking at this and, if something, and certainly it can be brought up during budget season. I think if it's stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
and Kirk, if it's helpful, just because I do reference it, there is from ECOG September 2022 prioritization summary report, 5-year strategic plan, which I can send to you if that's more helpful than you finding it.
Thank
yes?
you.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
Thank you.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
I was gonna say it's
Sounds
also
good.
Archived in the council documents. So
yeah, I'm sure that we could find it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get it to you more quickly.
But.
And I think if it's okay, just put it in the information packet. I would say if it's not in the 20th information packet, then the first one in February, just so that it's there for council to see.
I like it.
Anything else from council and anything from you as well? All right. Well, thanks for this presentation, and thanks to staff for all the hard work.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Totally. Yeah, thank you. Excellent.
We'll move on to item number 5, which is council updates on assigned boards, commissions, and committees. We just went through that process this morning.
I'll just say that Better Together did meet in December, and while there are the different pillars, one of the big focuses was on the river. So they are really taking that up in hand and working with regional partners to make sure that kind of the health of the river in terms of recreation, accessibility, and then also for conservation. Those three things are key to the work that's going on in terms of the river. There's, you know, multiple pillars, but that was the one that really stood out most and I think was probably at the moment of most interest to council since we've been talking about that recently. So.
Maybe in.
Probably most commission or boards and commissions were on holiday recess. Mm-hmm. If nothing more, we are adjourned until 6 p.m. For our formal meeting.